1 week in 1970 was a potentially dangerous flashpoint for anti-war protests at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. In today's NET News signature story, we look back at what happened and the growth of campus Vietnam War activism. Dan Laidley didn't start out as a Vietnam War protester. When he came to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln campus in 1965, the Gordon native was a photographer for the student newspaper, the Daily Nebraskan. He covered others protesting.
Kind of slowly but surely, I became more of an activist and felt like the war was really wrong. I mean, I felt like it anyway, but as time went on, I decided to become more of a participant rather than an observer.
Steve Tewald still calls Vietnam a tragic mistake. He remembers his opposition gradually increasing from when he first came to UNL from Omaha in 1967.
I think that as the war escalated, as more and more troops were sent, it became more of an issue for students across the spectrum.
Not all late 60s UNL students opposed the war, but accounts paint a picture of steadily growing anti-war activity. Marches, teach-ins, concerts, speakers.
I think we'd gotten to the point where we were having protests just about every week, but they were pretty small.
Small and peaceful. That changed 1 week during 1970. President Richard Nixon announced that U.S. troops had entered Cambodia on Thursday, April 30th. It was a flashpoint across the country, a sign the war was escalating. UNL students, including newly elected student body president Tewald, spent the weekend talking about protests, strikes, finally planning a Monday midday rally outside the student union. The rally had just started
when the word came about the shooting of the students at Kent State. This just accelerated the anger of a lot of students.
100 people, mostly students, quickly left the rally and walked a few blocks to the county draft board office. They wanted the office to shut down for the day. That didn't happen. The call went out for all available Lincoln police officers. They broke up the demonstration and arrested 13. A few hours later, Laidley and other anti-war students gathered at a campus religious organization to plan something bigger, occupation of the university's military and naval science building, the ROTC building.
Marched over there and there wasn't any security at all. I think there was an old man who was campus police standing in the lobby holding the door, trying to hold the door shut, and somebody just jerked it open and we all went in.
It started with 30 or 40 students entering the lightly guarded building at 8 o'clock that night. The crowd grew to nearly 1,800. Serious protesters, but also people just curious about what was happening. Even some live music at the sit-in, described in a university report as mostly peaceful. At 10 o'clock, leaders of the takeover had a list of demands, including suspending campus ROTC programs, amnesty for those arrested at the draft board protest, and university backing for a national student strike to protest Vietnam.
You know, the protest wasn't aimed towards the university administration. It was really to protest the war, and that we weren't protesting anything on campus at all.
But there was talk of armed police and National Guard soldiers ready to intervene. Behind the scenes, things were happening to keep this from becoming another Kent State. English professor Paul Olson was active in the anti-war movement, but also a faculty leader who knew Governor Norbert Tiemann from church. He stayed in contact with students, administration, and the governor. Discussions throughout the night helped cool a potential powder keg.
I think everybody acted pretty responsibly. You know, the students acted responsibly. The right-wing students acted pretty responsibly. During that period, I spent virtually all night long getting conservative and radical students together to talk through what their responsibilities were and what they were trying to do.
Olson and others say UNL President Joe Soschnick was also a difference maker.
Because he stayed in communication with the students and he stayed in communication with me and he stayed in communication with the faculty and with the conservatives.
By 10 the next morning, the smaller crowd of students remaining walked out of the ROTC building after an agreement that discussions would continue that day at a faculty meeting, then an all-university town hall. An estimated 9,000 students, half the campus at the time, attended that town hall and supported a 3-day strike on classes. anti-Vietnam activities continued until the war ended a few years later, but nothing like that tense week in early May of 1970.
It was truly an amazing several days there,
Tewald says. He lives outside Chicago, where he runs a nonprofit promoting organic farming. He says the impact of the Vietnam War lingers.
It caused problems that we still see today. The cynicism about government, mistrust of government, breakdown of civil discourse.
Dan Laidley never strayed more than a few blocks from the ROTC building he helped take over. He's run UNL's independent film theater for 40 years.
It was a very interesting time. I think we really felt like we had to do something because, my sophomore year here, my roommate flunked out and went to Vietnam and died, was killed. Mm-hmm. So it was really affecting us a lot. We were really wanting to stop it.
For NET News, I'm Mike Tobias.